aspiring parents to be the number one influence in the lives of their children. This is the 4 Point Families Podcast.
How's it going? You're listening to the 4 Point Families Podcast. My name is Michael Prince, and I'm your host today for a very special episode, very awesome time. I'm going to direct you momentarily to an interview by that I interviewed a man named John Wilkerson. You've heard of him on the show before. I've talked about some of the stuff he does online at wiredhomeschool.com, and we talk about it a little more on this interview. I've interviewed him here about some stuff that is very much related to his podcasts and his blog and things, which is media, social media, and devices, things like that. So I thought we got into some pretty good conversation, about a half hour, a little talk back and forth. So I'm going to make that be today's episode. But first, I want to direct you to 4pointfamilies.com and our Give to 4PF page, where you can find out our push, our movement, our new idea for giving for the month of August and for the next few months as we work towards our budget to let our ministry become something we do full-time instead of fundraising being something we're doing full-time. So if you go to 4pointfamilies.com and then click on Give to 4PF, or if you can click to the link in the show notes to our giving page, you'll see a video there you can watch that kind of obviously just gives a brief rundown of what our ministry is all about. It's a 2-minute video, real easy to just roll through. So you can check that out, and then you can sign up for an amount to give to 4 Point Families monthly. Now that's how it works. We will accept gifts, of special gifts and things like that at any point, obviously, for ministry. But the way it works to keep us going, because we're supposed to be in the field ministering for up to for at least 4 years before we're evaluated again by the Assemblies of God. And so if you sign up, what you're doing is you're signing up to give a certain amount for 4 years or so. So we have amounts on our list up to $100, but it starts down at $5 a month. We actually give $5 a month to a few missionaries that we went to orientation with, and we value those $5 a month partners, and we value the 10 and the 25 and the 20, and we value the 30 and we value the 50, all of them, because you are jumping in there to help us go out and spread the message of 4 Point Families, that parents can empower their kids and disciple their kids at home and raise them up to be who God's called them to be. So I encourage you to go to 4pointfamilies.com, check that out. Well, and that's all I want to say about that. I want to direct you there. Again, like us on Facebook, like us on Twitter. You can follow us, the number 4 Point Families, both of those places. And YouTube, we're going to have some new videos coming out here and there as we come up with them. So I encourage you to check all that stuff out. But for now, let's go and listen to this interview with John Wilkerson from the wiredhomeschool.com. Well, I'm here with John Wilkerson of the Wired Homeschool and previously many other things. And I will go ahead and let you get started by telling us about your family, yourself, personally, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, and what you do for a living, and just let us know John Wilkerson a little better.
Okay, so for all the stalkers out there, I have been married to my lovely wife, Lisa, for going on 16 years now. Yeah, 16 years. And we have 7 kids, and we homeschool them all. I am an IT professional, so kind of computers and things and internet, stuff like that, is my cup of tea. I'm an Army brat, so because of that, I was born in Germany, and went all over the place as a child. By the time I was 12, I'd crossed the Atlantic Ocean 5 times. Probably not as many times as some other kids have done, but that's pretty significant. And I think really kind of impacted the way that I approach relationships, because when you're only in one place for 3 years or so, that kind of impacts those kind of things.
I'd imagine.
And, yeah, it does. So my mother's German, so that makes me half German, and I speak German. So that's.
And you root for the German soccer team?
Only when they are not playing the United States.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought I saw you had a jersey. Do you have a jersey?
I do. I have two, actually.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I really got into the World Cup this year, but I haven't gone so far as to buy a jersey yet.
Well, those are from the two, not last year, but the two before that, the two World Cups before that. So.
Okay, okay.
Before they got to be like $80 each and stuff like that.
So. Right, yeah. They started becoming the same as, you know, American football jerseys.
Right.
So what about your podcasts and where people can find you online?
Well, right now the best place to find me is over at thewiredhomeschool.com. That's where I do most of my podcasting. That's been a homeschooling and technology podcast that I've been doing since 2005, which actually came out of another podcast that I had done since, no, 2010. I've been doing The Wired Homeschool, which came out of another podcast that I've been doing since 2005 called Jesus Geek, which has been on hiatus for about 3 or 4 years, but I have been toying around with bringing it back because I like talking about geeky stuff. And while it does tend to mix with some people in the homeschool crowd, it does tend to be kind of two diametrically opposed crowds. So, but yeah, been doing this podcasting thing for a while. I'm one of the old school podcasters. You know, started when there were no tutorials or anything out there to teach you how to podcast. So
I guess you started where people were listening to you on the old big old white brick iPods.
Yes. Well, yeah, even and before iTunes had podcasts in it.
Wow.
That's how long ago I've been podcasting.
That's awesome. And we're on a Facebook group together where it's a bunch of hobby podcasters or guys who just do this as part of what they love to do. And I saw that you had a number of shows that you've done. And how many of those were tech or media relevant? And what were those shows other than these two? Is there any more?
Oh, my goodness. I'd have to go look at the list. Well, let's see. I had there weren't too many that were really tech related. I did one called Compassion 365, which was a daily podcast for an entire year to raise awareness for Compassion International.
Wow.
And, we also encouraged people to donate, and had a book written for it called Water is Life, and all the proceeds from that went to Compassion International and continue to go to Compassion International. I did another one called the Social Giving Podcast, which I think I only got about 6 or 7 episodes into that one. And I kind of wish I'd stuck with that one. The idea being using social media for good, using social media for promoting charities and things like that. I did one called The Sticker Cast, which was kind of my...
I remember that.
I did that one for a while. That was, at one point, my most popular podcast ever, and was just really about... this service called Get Glue, which doesn't exist anymore. Nope. And has turned into TV Tag, and they don't even send you stickers anymore, so it's like, right. Why bother, you know?
What's the point?
Yeah. and a couple others that I've been involved with that I can't really remember off the top of my head right now.
Great. Awesome. Well, what got you started in your focus on, you know, computer technology, online tech, especially mobile tech, things like that?
Well, when Actually, in 2005, when I first started Jesus Geek, the first two episodes were called Homeschool Tech.
Oh, okay.
And I was interested in introducing the homeschool community to technology. Problem being, in 2005, there were not a lot of homeschoolers that were either A, reading blogs, and especially B, they were not listening to podcasts.
Sure.
So there just was not an audience there. And it was something that I had always wanted to do. And when 2010 rolled around, I had started doing little homeschool segments as part of my Jesus Geek podcast and decided, you know, this really needs to be a separate podcast. And then I separated it out. And the reason being is because parents just, there are a lot of parents, they don't realize, I don't want to say all, but a vast, big, huge percentage, and you can testify to this, they have no idea of the technology that they have placed in their kids' hands, what it's capable of, and what kind of trouble their kids can get into. And so I kind of look on both sides of things as here's great ways to use technology for your homeschooling, but also here are some of the things you need to watch out for as well.
I see. That's great. That's great. And let's see, I had a question in my brain and it left me. It's okay. The next one I had already was how have your podcasts and blogs and things about technology affected the way you've handled your kids' media usage? And you said you have 7 children.
Yeah.
And how is it, and what are their ages, if you don't mind me asking?
Yep, my youngest just has a birthday. He's 7.
Oh, great.
And then I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old and a 19-year-old.
Wow.
So
you've been through it all, and you're going through it all still.
I'm going through it all. I wouldn't say I've been through it, no.
So your youngest is the age of my oldest. He'll turn 7 November 10th. So how has what you do online with helping people with media and you know, social media, things like that, how has that affected the way you treat, the way your kids handle those things?
You know, it hasn't. And the reason I say that is because I don't have as big of a problem with social media and like putting pictures of my kids online as my wife does. However, gotcha. She has been kind of the governor, if you will, you know, like in a car that limits your speed. That's kind of said, you know, maybe we need to slow down with this and take it easy. You know, to the point where you know, we don't even put pictures of our children online generally.
Right.
If they are online, there are pictures online of our kids. It's in a group setting, and we don't tag our kids or circle our kids. None of our kids have social media accounts except for my oldest son, and he didn't. He got his Facebook account when he was 16. And that's kind of our rule in our house is 16 years old. We don't really see a need for a 13-year-old to have an Instagram account or a Twitter account or anything like that. I mean, our kids are, you know, they're starting to, my girls especially, my 15-year-old and my 12-year-old, they're starting to travel in circles where all the kids are like, oh, give me your iTunes ID, and we can text back, and, you know, we can Apple message back and forth. And we're like, no, we're not, you know, we're not setting you up a separate account. It's not happening. So it hasn't really. If anything, it has really made me aware of just how parents give their children too much freedom with these kinds of technologies. And the one thing I say is, you know, would you let your kids take a picture of themselves and plaster it on a billboard with some stupid comment?
Right.
And if the answer is no, then why are you letting them have a Facebook account?
Yeah, exactly. Or Instagram.
Or Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, vice versa from that previous question, can you pinpoint any ways that the way you treat technology and social media and things with your kids has affected the podcasting or the blog?
Well, it has in a way. One of the things that I have actually considered and have been thinking about, especially with my older, you know, kids that are old enough to have a social media account, is whether or not to set up an anonymous account for them. The idea being, if they have a talent or a hobby and they want to be able to connect with other people that are in that same, that have the same talent or hobby, you know, it might be better for them to have their own account. But other than that, I can't really say that anything that I've seen out there has really swayed me and the way I approach things
right
with my kids or how I approach technology. If anything, my wife has been the biggest influence.
Great.
Because like I said, I would be the guy who would be taking pictures and putting them up all over the place.
Right.
And even, you know, letting my kids, as soon as they were old enough, have an account. And when I say old enough, a lot of people think that their 11-year-old or their 12-year-old is old enough to be on Facebook. No, they're not. You're violating the terms of service. They have to be 13. And so they're not old enough. And that's for a reason, because Facebook collects all kinds of information on everything that you click, hover, look at, touch, read. Literally, every movement on Facebook is tracked. Yeah. And unless you want your kids being tracked at that early of an age, you might want to reconsider those kinds of things.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that about Facebook tracking things. And this didn't even happen on Facebook. I was in a Skype conversation with my cousin, and he was telling me about this desk he's building that's very industrial looking, and he's basically went to the hardware store and got wood and like plumbing hardware and pipes and stuff to build this desk that he wanted. And no joke, the next day on Facebook, after this Skype conversation, I have industrial desk ads on my Facebook page.
That's creepy.
It creeped me out. I sent him a screenshot of it, and I said, man, they're everywhere. I didn't know. And it's people don't – I think some people think it's convenient. You know, when I was looking for podcasting equipment, and I had Googled and searched everything I could think of, you know, every type of podcasting microphone and setup and hardware and software, everything that I could think of. And I was getting Facebook. That's all my Facebook ads were, was, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. microphones and things like that. So, yeah, if you want your kids being something, that's something I talk about a lot when I share with parents, is how marketing is geared towards our young people. Well, when you put your 11-year-old on Facebook, that just makes that even more fine-tuned laser point marketing straight for them.
Exactly. And, you think the commercials during Saturday morning cartoons are bad?
Right. That's right. So true. So social media, yeah, you've got your rule, 16 years old and that kind of thing. What about devices? Do you have, and it sounds like you're probably the one that's like, yeah, everybody in the family needs the updated, newest thing we can get. But then the wife would say, I don't think that's what's necessary. Maybe that's not the case, but what do you do as far as devices in your family? At what age do you think a phone's necessary, that kind of thing? With seven kids, you've been through that conversation a number of times, I'm sure. What is that often look like for you?
Yeah, so as far as when is a phone necessary, and using my first son as an example, he got one when he started working. So when he was going to be out of the house at night, right, and there weren't mm-hmm. going to be other people around that, I mean, there would be other people around with a phone, but he was at work and we needed a way to reach him. And he needed a way to reach us without having to rely on other people. That was when he got a cell phone. As far as iPods and things like that, both my oldest girls have iPods. They're both hand-me-downs. Like I said, they don't have accounts, iTunes accounts right. associated with them. So all the apps and everything have to be loaded on manually. And so that means I have to see every app they want loaded on. And they're not, we just recently connected my oldest daughter's device to the wireless here at the house.
Okay.
But it's, you know, we lock it down. It's like every restriction you can imagine is on there. You know, Safari is disabled. She doesn't have any kind of social media apps on there. We just don't think that it's a good idea to give our kids that kind of access just yet.
Or others that kind of access to your kids.
Exactly.
Some people think, because I'm sitting here thinking of parents that I know would say, or kids that I know would say, that sounds like prison, you know, what you're explaining now.
Right.
But the reality is that maybe they can't get out, but also nobody can get in. And that's, you know, I think that's something parents need to remember too, is it's not just locking them out.
It also has to do with the environment in our house.
Right.
We don't have a single video game console in it. Well, that's not true. We have a video game console in our house. It is boxed up in the basement and has been there for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's never been used. It's never been opened up or used. I used to be a big I was a big console gamer. I had the first PlayStation when my wife and I got married, and would play around with that. And just as we got more kids, it just got to the point where, number one, I didn't have the time to sit down and game like I wanted to. And number two, I didn't want to drop $300 on a device, $300-$400 on something, and $50 a game. To keep myself entertained. And so we've got a few little, I don't know, you've probably seen them at Walmart, you know, they plug into your RCA jacks on the front of your
DVD. You've got a joystick. You know? Yeah, I gotcha.
That's what we've got, you know.
Great.
Those are the kind
Pac-Man
of
Pac-Man and
And whatever's on the computer.
Sure.
So we don't have a household that's full of gadgets. And so it's not expected by the kids. And I think that's the big thing is they see dad has an iPhone and dad has an iPad, but we don't have all kinds of other gadgets running around the house. And honestly, if my employer didn't supply me with an iPhone, I would not have a smartphone because I can't afford one.
Right.
Thinking expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what is that conversation? And this, you may have just answered that question to some extent, but are there conversations with your kids? Them being homeschooled, they're not around kids all the time that have these other things, I assume. But do they see kids with the devices or have friends that do those things more or hear about that? And do you have to have conversations with them that explain to them why you do things the way you do? And if so, kind of what do you do to handle that in some situations?
Okay, so they actually are around kids who have devices like that, other homeschool kids.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember one day my daughter saying, "Hey, Dad, will you install Snapchat for me?" And I looked at her and I said, "Are you out of your mind?" I said, "Who's using Snapchat?" And she said, "Oh, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so." I said, "Are you kidding me?" What's wrong with these parents?
Exactly.
You know, Christian parents, mind you, Christian homeschool parents that are supposed to be some of the most conservative on the planet, you know.
Right.
So either the conversation goes like that, you're out of your mind, or that's it, conversation over. Or we do have to sit down and talk a little bit. So we're talking about whether or not we want to give our oldest daughter a cell phone. And we're kind of having this real open conversation right now. There's no definitive answer right now. Does she need one? Does she, you know, right now, my wife can give my daughter her cell phone and say, "Here's my phone. Call us if you need us. We'll be at home." Or call dad's cell phone.
Right.
So that's, it's not a problem right now to hand over a cell phone to her. But if it gets to the point where that becomes a little bit more of a problem, then we're looking at getting a phone for her, and I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Do you have maybe an example of one of your kids, or maybe your personal media usage, whether it be social media or devices or anything like that, getting to the point where you had to have a conversation about, hey, let's back off from this for a little while? And if so, what did that look like, and how did you handle that situation?
So folks, when your kids grow up and they go off to college, even if they hardly ever texted, it's like suddenly their phone is stuck to their hands. And so my oldest son often comes home from college, and we're sitting at the dinner table trying to have dinner, and he's got to whip out his phone and text someone, or while we're talking to him sitting on the couch, he's got to be texting, right?
Sure.
And so the conversation usually goes like this. You know, it's rude and disrespectful to do that because we want you here in the conversation. And, yeah. Well, none of my friends have a problem with it, you know, is usually the response that we get. And so we go back and forth about how we're out of touch and no, you're just being rude, because if you were having a conversation with someone else, you wouldn't want them to just all of a sudden go stick a hand in your face and go, wait a minute, hey, Joe. If there was someone just walked by, you wouldn't like that, you know. So,
right.
So we have that conversation, and my wife isn't shy about telling me when she feels like I'm getting a little too engaged in social media and not paying attention to the family. So,
yeah.
So that has happened at times too, and I have kind of this sort of addictive personality where I'll go on these stints and like be Mr. Social Media and and have to usually the way it goes is my wife says, can I have your phone this weekend? That's a hint that that I've been going overboard. So
break time. Unplug time.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, just two more questions to kind of round us out. Or one more, really. This question is this. I always tell parents myself that they shouldn't give their children any tech that they themselves don't understand. And my question to you is, what are some of your favorite resources for parents besides wiredhomeschool.com? And is Jesus Geek still available to listen to?
It is, episodes? But you have to kind of travel back through the archives and find it, because there's no official podcast feed or anything like that.
Gotcha.
But you could do that. And that information there's going to be so outdated that you probably don't want to check that out.
Well, I thought for some, maybe your kids have hand-me-down phones and things like that that are maybe were covered in something like that, and it would be hard to find a podcast nowadays about, you know, the iPhone 3GS and what to do about it or something.
Right, so I don't know. Right.
It's possible. But, okay, great. So besides that kind of stuff, those things that you put out, you do, besides 4pointfamilies.com, of course, what do you recommend for parents that want to get their kids tech, but they know they need to get educated themselves first?
Okay. There's a great new site that just came out called iParent.tv that I have come to learn about. It's from Craig Gross. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He started XXXChurch.com.
Yes.
They have some really great reviews of technology, of services. The videos look good. You know, it's not like shaky, oh, I'm holding my cell phone over my iPad trying to show you how to do this type videos. So that's one of them. Another great resource is youknowkids.com, the letter U, knowkids.com. They have some great resources there as well.
Okay.
And really, a lot of the, you'd be surprised, but a lot of the antivirus websites now are doing a lot with blogging about internet safety.
Cool. Okay.
So McAfee and Symantec, you can look through their blogs. It's not as prevalent, but they are starting to really bring those things up. And also Covenant Eyes. CovenantEyes.com is a great resource. They have a blog there that occasionally Luke, who writes most of the blog posts, there are things related to kids and their use of technology there as well.
Great. Well, awesome. Thanks for that. I'll have links to all that stuff in the show notes, so folks, you can go check that out and get your education on. John, thank you so much for doing the show for us and answering some of my questions.
You're welcome.
Go ahead and tell everybody again where they can find you, where the stalkers can find you online, if you don't mind.
All right, thank you. You can check me out over at thewiredhomeschool.com. That's where most of all of my social media linky-doos are. That's probably mostly going to connect you with kind of the podcast side of things. So for personal things, you want to check me out. I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/JWILKERS. And I don't really friend people on Facebook that I don't know. So you can follow me on Facebook if you want to. I guess they have that whole follow thing. You can like subscribe to me and stalk me, I guess, if you want to.
Right.
And Google Plus, plus.google.com/John Wilkerson.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again. And everybody go check out his stuff at wiredhomeschool.com. And it's I'll tell you this, it's not just for homeschoolers. In fact, I featured a thing you wrote about dating my daughter for Geek Dads, the rules for dating my daughter. I featured that on an episode not long ago. And I saw I read a post of yours today that I had read before but wanted to read again. It was what homeschooling parents can learn from, or what homeschoolers can learn from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And so I'm very into Doctor Who at the moment because it's coming back in a few weeks. So I'm very excited about that. But there's some really good stuff on there, and even if you don't homeschool, just for knowing what your kids are up to, what's going on media-wise and device-wise, stuff like that. So thanks again, John, and we'll see everybody later.
That was an interview with John Wilkerson. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know if you have any questions, any thoughts on what we talked about as far as media, social media, and devices and things like that for our kids, and how to have those conversations with our kids. I liked what he said about his daughter asking him something and him saying, "Are you out of your mind?" Sometimes I think that's the only answer we can give. And so I really enjoyed chatting with John. John, thanks again. I know I said it in the interview, but thanks again for doing this and hanging out with me for a little bit. I really enjoyed it. And God bless you guys. Thanks for listening. Like us on Facebook. Go to that giving page at fourpointfamilies.com and just learn a little bit more. Even if you can't sign up to do anything right now, or even if you can only give one time right now, that all helps us get going. This is what we do now. This is all we do. So we just appreciate that. And God bless you very much. Have a great, great week. And we'll see you next time on the 4 Point Families podcast.
For more information about the ministry and how you can support our work for parents and families, visit 4pointfamilies.com. Thanks for listening.